Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. We are here, episode number 37. It is your friendly host, Mario and Brian. What's up, Mario?
37 episodes is, that's kind of a big mark. We're creeping up on 40. It's a lot.
We're getting there. Yeah, 37, it's a big one. And we, you know, sorry about last week. Sorry, but not sorry. It was Thanksgiving
I'm
week.
I'm not sorry, dude.
Not really sorry. Yeah, you know, we teased it. We thought we'd maybe throw one out there. We were going to try to do something, doing FaceTime, because we were in different parts of the universe. But, you know, we all were doing family stuff. We were having a lot of stuff going on, so...
We were going to do the podcast, but we were all passed out after eating turkey. I'm sure, everybody else was, so...
Yeah, we were turkeyed out, pumpkin pied out, doing things with our families, so it was a good time. We both had, you know... You had a good Thanksgiving?
Had a lot of fun. Very tired afterwards. Had a little roller coaster of stuff going, you know? Got together with the whole family, ate a lot. Like a lot, like force-fed almost. Did a ton of work. It was like a fantasy labor camp for me. So did that, got my construction hat on, and did a bunch of stuff. But no, it was good. Got in a car crash. Well, not a car crash. Somebody crashed into the car I rented. And then I came back, and somebody rear-ended me. So cars
Hey-o.
Are not good. So a lot of stuff going on, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. It's that time of year. The holiday season has begun. I hope you guys had a great holiday season as well. Thank you guys again for listening this week. And we'll give you some information here. SkiBumPodcast.com is our website, as I'm sure you know. You can get all of our information there. There you can find the link to iTunes. Please go there, subscribe, rate us, let us know what you think. Facebook, hit us up, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast. Twitter, we're at SkiBumPodcast. And now we're finally on Instagram.
Nice.
Indeed. And if you need to guess... You can guess the handle. If you don't like guessing, it's instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast.
Whoa.
Crazy. How did we ever come up with that name?
It's like a holistic marriage of the names, right?
That's true. We're all about, you know, we have a consistent branding across multiple social platforms.
I like that pitch.
You like that?
Funniest thing is I posted something on Instagram, and all of a sudden, like, everybody started following. And, like, all these – I was like, I didn't know Instagram was that, you know.
Instagram's what all the kids are using.
People just, you know, on that, scoping us out. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, we set it up, you know, months ago, but we never really did anything with it.
Yeah.
But now that's becoming that time where we're going to have a lot of cool stuff to post pictures of, especially starting next week. Why is that, Mario?
Because as we prepare for the ski season, we have, drum roll, HFSB, Highfalutin Ski Bum, Ski Bum Week 2015.
Official Highfalutin Ski Bum Week 2015.
Exactly. Exactly. And what we're going to do on this show, we're going to share some of the plans that we have to kick off the season and let you know our hopes and dreams for the week and set the bar for what we want to do. And then we'll, you know, touch base with everybody after and during next week. It'll be fun.
Yeah, so that's going to be our topic this week. We're going to talk about what is Ski Bum Week, what we do, how it came to be, and what our plans are. And hopefully we can meet up with some of you and you can join us and we can have a little couple drinks, couple chats, and have a good time.
It's a lot of fun.
That's the plan.
But before we get to any of that, you know what time that is.
Oh, yes. It is time for the weekly flavor. And I don't know about you, but this past holiday week, I mean, it's been a good week of celebration. There's been a lot of alcoholic beverages consumed. I was lucky enough.
I drank a ton of beer.
I was lucky. Well, you were down in Florida, so you had some cool
Florida.
Cigar City. You were at, you didn't go to Cigar City, but you had some of their beers down there. It's a little Tampa brewery.
Had that highlight, man.
Oof. Good stuff.
On
right?
Tap in the can. Good. I was highlight all over that.
And we were at, what other brewery? Big Storm?
Big Storm. It? Yeah, they're a small brewery that started up, kind of like our buddies at Magnify. Reminds me of that a lot. Mm. And they're doing some good stuff. They're, last year when I went and the year before, I've gone there like every year they've opened. I counted up, it's like 4 years I've been there.
Nice.
And, they'll have stuff on Nitro sometimes. They didn't have anything on Nitro this time. But what they did have is they had, and I posted a tweeted on our account, was they had the same winter mix that they make, the winter brew that they make. They had the 2013, 14, 15, and then the 2014 bourbon barrel aged. And it was great to try them all side by side. It was pretty wild.
Nice.
So pretty neat. They do a good job. They're actually expanding. They're growing a lot. So they're going to be – so Cigar City started first, and then Tampa Brewery came out, and they started – they're doing like not just brewery, but they're doing like restaurant brew pubs.
Like a brew pub, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're growing a little bit faster. But these guys, Big Storm, they're growing. They're going to move to like a place that's like twice the size with a big tap room. So
nice.
It's like a huge upgrade for them. And it's nice to see because they're way up north, like in Newport, just north of Newport Richey in Odessa, Florida. So they're not near like the population that they, you know, Cigar City and Tampa Brewery is. But make some good beer.
Nice. But this week, what are you partaking in?
I am partaking in a little Dogfish Head pumpkin ale. I have to finish the pumpkins. They're in the fridge, and I love them. And I figure, you know what? Because I know it pisses you off every time I drink pumpkin outside of the pumpkin season, because I'll drink it all year.
Listen, I'll give you pumpkin season until winter officially starts, which is December 21st.
See, winter started already for me. That's
I'm going calendar-wise. You are more than welcome to have pumpkin up until Christmas. I'll give you that even. I'll give you 4 extra days.
I'm going to buy some now and break that bitch out in like January. And you're going to be so mad. I'm going to be like, yeah, this pumpkin's great.
I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to look down at you and think you're a silly bitch, but I'm not going to be mad. Mm-hmm. I ain't even mad at you. You can do whatever you want. As long as I don't have to drink it. As long as I don't go to a bar and see Pumpkinhead on draft in the end of February.
Yeah,
that's some whack ass, left that keg in the basement, someone forgot about it, and whoa, what can we put up on draft today? Oh, here we go. We found this thing.
I agree with you there.
You see?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I was in Florida. I was drinking Bud Light, man. Love my Bud Light. Ugh. Watching little NASCAR and football, drinking Bud Light, eating chicken wings. Ate chicken wings like every goddamn day. It was horrible. I have to like...
Florida.
I have to shed off some of this extra weight. You know?
Yeah. That's a very Florida thing to do. You know, when in Rome.
Oh, man. A lot of chicken wings.
Yeah. So I'm drinking... During my Thanksgiving week, I was actually super fortunate. I have some connections, family connections over here. I actually had Hetty Topper and Sip of Sunshine, and I wasn't even in Vermont.
Wow, where'd you go?
I was up in Connecticut.
Nice.
And there's the Two Roads Brewery actually brews Sip of Sunshine down there. So
you know somebody that works there?
I know someone who works there, but my mother-in-law was able to get me a 4-pack. She's on like lists now.
She's working for us now.
She's
right?
working for
She's
us.
She's our intern.
She's our intern up there. So she got me the Sip of Sunshine, and then my wife's then...
We got to give her official credit as our beer intern.
Yeah, no doubt. We really do. We'll put her in the credits.
Put her in the credits.
And then Andrea's uncle, he's been doing a lot of work up in Vermont. He actually brought a 4-pack of Hetty Topper down for me.
Nice.
So I had some Hetty Topper. So it was pretty pretty dynamite beer weekend.
It's pretty amazing they didn't drink it and they brought it and they gave it to you.
Like, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I would have given you empty cans and been like, here, Brian, I thought about it, but you know.
Because you're a dick.
Then I drank them. But I gave you the empty can because you might want to know what I brought you.
That's because you're a dick. People love me and want to give me things. It's a very nice place to be at. But now I am drinking Americana Luxury Vodka. Now, I don't know how long this has been floating around, but you go to their website, it looks like it was built in 2005 and has not been updated.
I think I've seen it recently in the store, though, in Gary's, I think.
Was it covered in dust?
Hey, Gary's, nothing's covered in dust. They're pretty good about keeping it clean.
Yeah, so I'm...
How long it's been there, I don't know.
I've been sipping on this for a little bit now, and I'm almost done with it, and I think I'm going to try something else after, but
I know that's been in my fridge for like 2 years.
Oh, dude, I think I gave you that bottle like 5 years ago. I really do.
It's probably about 5 years ago. But it's in the fridge.
It's vodka. What's going to happen to it? Jesus. But, yeah, it's clean. It's luxurious.
Hey, you're drinking it. That's why I'm happy.
Hey.
One more bottle I get rid of.
I actually said to you, I'm like, what are you trying to get rid of? I'm happy to drink that.
I'm like, just drink. There's a ton of stuff. There's stuff that's gone bad that I got to throw out. Like,
what was that weird, like the tequila rose or whatever you had?
Oh my God, that was in the fridge for like 3 years. I'm like, there's no way I'm even drinking it. I'm like, but I feel so bad throwing it away. I'm like, I don't know what to do with it.
Just give it to like high school kids. Just leave it like a bag next to the high school.
Go, kid.
There you go. Knock yourself out, kid.
That's how Roofy started.
That's like how Bill Cosby
that's
began.
How Bill Cosby started.
His reign of terror.
He just left it out by the school.
Yeah, pretty much. It's almost like Hansel and Gretel. You know, you little breadcrumbs.
That's right.
Maybe a couple bottles of booze along
the way.
Those
little airplay bottles.
Yeah, the nips.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. So we have a couple follow-ups from our last podcast many, many weeks ago. Only two, but you know. So, Trivia Lift. Our buddy Kelly over at Trivia Lift, they still have a week to go on their Kickstarter campaign. Now, they are looking to get $15,000. They're at $21.57. That is $2,157. So if you can, got a few bucks. It seems like a really cool idea. Trivia Lift is a quiz-based game show hosted on chairlifts. If you're into skiing and you have half a brain, this sounds like an awesome idea.
It does.
Seems like a lot of fun. Really cool. Go check them out. We'll post in the show notes. Go to Kickstarter. You can search for it there. It's Trivia Lift.
And, 7 days left.
7 days left. Our buddy Kelly, help him out. It seems like a really cool idea. So
shout out to Kelly.
Do it. Thanks, Kelly, for the cool video you sent us, too. We appreciate it.
So another follow-up from Kickstarter, something else we supported. So the cake ball lady, Auntie Liana, she's getting a commercial fridge now. So it's pretty cool. She's, like, tweeting out, letting everybody know, got stuff delivered. She showed it in, like, the show, you know, in her new kitchen and stuff. So it's kind of cool. Like, I feel like I'm part of this.
Yeah, we when are we supposed to get those cake balls anyway?
I don't know. I'm going to have to email it. Like, when the hell? January, I think, was ours.
The first batch, right? Didn't we have a couple different ones?
Three batches. January, I think they ended in June, and I picked flavors because I was like, I don't want to wait that long. I just I want the cake balls now.
Yeah.
I think it's January, March, and June or something like that.
So it's nice and like evenly spaced. So
yeah, we got to space it out because we got to work out too because... After them, dude, chicken wings. You know what I ate today? You saw.
Chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers. So it's the same thing as chicken wings without the bone.
Yeah, pretty much.
What a fat boy.
You were crushing it, though.
Oh, yeah, because I'm in chicken wing eating mode.
Is that ranch sauce you were having, or was that
blue cheese. Always blue cheese.
Always blue cheese.
You can't go to, you can't like live in Buffalo for like even a month and like come back and say ranch. That's, I don't know.
What's wrong with ranch?
It's not real. Really? It's all blue cheese. Go to Buffalo, it's blue cheese. They look at ranch like, what are you from the Midwest?
Where are you from, city boy?
Big city boy coming up here getting some ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens. But so it's good to see her getting stuff done.
Auntie Leanna, cooking it up.
Props out to you.
Looking forward to your cake balls.
I want her balls in my mouth.
I bet you do. All right, so our first ski news story of the week. So, top 15 deepest snowpacks in the U.S. of A. So, this is from our pals over at Snowbrains. Out in the West Coast, they had a terrible season last season. Places were closing in, like, early March. They had no snow in Lake Tahoe.
This year,
how the tides have
turned. We're crying now. They're laughing their ass off.
We were spoiled like a bunch of filthy, trust fund little bitches.
This time last year, did we have a lot of snow? I think we got the pounding like this coming week, right?
It would have been the upcoming week, but it was significantly colder last year.
So we could still be on track if next week we have a big pounding.
We are praying and sacrificing to Uller. Hopefully get some snow.
I'm going to call my mom. We'll do a little Santeria on a chicken or something like that. We'll get that shit done.
We'll sacrifice something. We'll do it. So, as of right now, top 15 deepest snowpacks in the U.S. Mount Baker, Washington, number one, 60 inches, 5 feet. Number two, Mammoth, tied for number two, Diamond Peak, Nevada. Number four, Wolf Creek, Colorado. Number five, Mount Rose, Nevada. Number six, Alyeska, Alaska. Number seven, Mount Hood, Oregon. Number eight, Sun Valley, Idaho. Number nine, Grand Targhee, Wyoming. Number 10, Sugar Bowl, California. Number 12, one of our favorites, Telluride, Colorado. Tied for number 12, our hopefully soon to be new favorite,
yes,
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
And new ski bum favorite.
14, Copper Mountain, Colorado. Number 15, Mount Bachelor, Oregon. And number 15, Monarch Mountain, Colorado. So a lot of places, 2 foot plus snowpack, very early December. That's a very nice thing to see out west.
These pictures are making me jealous.
Oh, dude, it just looks glorious.
Look at that beautiful, beautiful snow.
Mount Bachelor looks dynamite right now.
And they have guns going. I'm like, come on.
And it looked so shitty the end of last year. I mean, they ended their season so early.
They got killed last year. Mm-hmm. And they still made a lot of money. Was it Aspen or Vail posted the biggest profits ever?
Yeah, but I mean, Colorado did okay. It was the West Coast that had the worst year, but they're getting in their share this year, which is great to see.
Yeah, really cool.
Next up, back to me.
Yeah, back to you.
I'll do it, man. Taos, they're getting some new owners and an upgrade. So it's looking like Taos, New Mexico, who has always been kind of the younger sibling, the cousin of all the big Colorado resorts.
Ski Club went there last year or the year before?
I think it was last year.
And it was shitty.
I think it was shitty till the very end.
They got
a foot
of snow.
Pounded. Or... They couldn't get out. It wasn't like 2 feet, and they couldn't get out for a couple days. Yeah,
that's right. That was last year.
It was last year,
They
yeah.
got pounded, mm-hmm. like 5-6 feet of pounding snow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So it was sold 2 years ago by the founding Blake family to Louis Bacon, a New York billionaire skier and conservationist.
Who doesn't love bacon?
And now Taos is investing some $300 million in updating and expanding the resort with improvements they have added to its appeal.
Wow.
So they're putting a lot of money in there. And they're saying that they're down pretty significantly from where they were back in the 90s. So in the early 90s, they were averaging 320,000 to 340,000 visits each winter, and now they're averaging about 230,000. So that's pretty significant. That's almost, you know, a third less than they had before. But they're putting in some new lifts and a new lodge. And they're trying to make it more beginner friendly.
Oh, okay. Average it out, kind of.
Yeah. Terrain. Trying to make it more family friendly.
Because Taos was more of an intermediate to advanced mountain, right?
Before. Yeah, because it's pretty steep. Because you have to have that kind of elevation and steepness where it's located geographically.
Yeah, that's pretty cool here.
Yeah.
Next, we got Peak Resorts agrees to buy a famous New York ski lodge, which is Hunter Mountain.
Beautiful Hunter Mountain.
And Hunter Mountain is kind of a... We have mixed feelings about it because it's one of the better mountains, one of the bigger mountains in our local area, like 2.5 hours away, like nice drive. But it's like it's overrun with meatheads and they've run that place into the ground for freaking years. So it's great to see somebody else buy it. Maybe they'll put some money into it. They're going to put money into it. And it could be a gold mine and a great destination. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've never actually skied there before. But the reason why is because the only time I would usually go there would be on the weekend and... Just hearing the stories of what it's like.
It's like the Jersey Shore.
Pretty much.
Up in snow country. Which
just crowded, just, yeah. Just,
I go to snow country to get away from those people, so it's kind of, I don't know. I don't fake tan, so we do gym tan laundry, but I don't fake tan, so.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see with this new group, with the Peak, when they take it over, how they're going to handle it. Because, they're known for being more of a higher end, chain of ski resorts.
There's a lot of money in this area.
That area. There is people want to spend money. So it's just a matter of giving them a place to do so.
Yeah.
So, it's been in disrepair for a while. So hopefully they pump money into it and make it the great place that it, should be.
I think it'll be good for the whole area because all of a sudden you start getting that competitiveness and they start pumping that area and the other areas start doing upgrades. It's kind of nice,
Yeah. That'll force, Wyndham and Bel Air to step their game up a little bit because they don't want to be, outdone by Hunter.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
The Vorms thing?
Vormes plan to revolutionize outerwear and the mountain town economy. So this is an article that I found on outsidemagazine.com. And it's a few months old, but it just kind of stood out to me. And I really wanted to just bring it up and we can talk about it a bit. So Dan English, he was a former manager at Microsoft. And he also used to work at Mossy Oak, the hunting apparel company.
I've seen Mossy Oak stuff on sale recently. That's why I'm like, I recognize that name.
Yeah. And he was talking about, there's so much gear, and it's all kind of the same, and it's all made in just a couple of places. Same supply chain, same everything. So he established this company in 2010 called Vormi, which is named after the fictional Yeti-like mountain-dwelling beast of the Pagosa Springs, Colorado area. And... set up this shop in Boulder. And I guess he's created this material. He's worked with, some folks who worked at the U.S. military and who worked at Polar Tech. And it changes the way you create your fabric.
Hmm.
And what it does is it glues the membrane between the layers of wool. So it almost has like a fleecy kind of look to it,
yeah.
But it has that waterproofness sewn into the layers
inside.
In between. Yeah. And what they're looking to do is they're trying to set it up so instead of having like a giant factory in China, like a lot of these companies do,
yeah.
here they want to have, you know, maybe 20 different smaller, you know,
micro factories instead of a mega factory.
Exactly. Micro factories in different ski towns. That's so, a you know, great using these idea. Mountain towns, so, you know, supporting that economy, having, you know, people who are, you know, seamstresses or sewing experience do the work there instead of having it all farmed out.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you're kind of creating this product that's innovative and new and different. And the people who are using it or who would benefit from it, you know, the people who live in ski mountain towns are going to help create it and build the economy from the creation.
Well, not only that, like you take a ski town is probably more, it's probably easier to do research out of one of those factories in the ski town already than say, oh, let's go out and do research, field studies or whatever we're doing with our new products that are manufactured in China that we have to ship over and then test them out, where you can actually test them, come back to the people that make them and say, oh, can we try it this way? You know what I mean? I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's really cool because part of the thing, too, is the wool they're using to create it is raised from sheep in the Rocky Mountains, and then it's spun in North and South Carolina and then stitched into apparel in Pagosa Springs and Rifle, Colorado. So the model they compare it to is like the Oscar Blues, which has like its factory, you know, the beer brewery in Colorado and one in North Carolina. So it's very similar to that, the way they're looking to do it.
It's funny, every time you talk about wool, getting it from a sheep, I think about that sheep that ran away that was like gigantic, that was unsheared for like a few years. It's awesome.
I don't know about that sheep.
You don't remember him?
I don't think so.
It was the one that wasn't sheared for like a few years, and it looked like a cartoon. It was
just really?
Gigantic with like little legs on the bottom. Hilarious.
Nice.
But it's apparently on the internet, it's a pretty hot topic. People love the sheep that run
people
around.
People love the sheep. So these Vormi jackets are pretty neat. You actually start buying them now. I think they're going to be delivered by around Christmas time this year.
Nice.
And they look pretty cool. I mean, it looks kind of like a fleece jacket, but it's supposed to be waterproof. It's supposed to be, you know, have Gore-Tex, wind resistant. And it's, you know what? I'd love to try one out. So Vormi, if you want to, you know, hit us up.
Yeah, they don't look that thick. So I guess they're getting the warmth out of that thin material, which is nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. We'd be happy to wear and talk about your product.
I'd love to talk about it if I knew more about it personally.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Next up.
Next up, we're going to talk about Ski Bum Week, because that's all we got to do.
That's going to be our topic for the week.
It's topic for the week.
That's topic for the week, yep.
So Ski Bum Week, let's break it down. We have...
So this is actually going to be our second time doing Ski Bum Week.
Yeah.
Last year was our first time doing Ski Bum Week, and it kind of came about... So before we started doing the particular ski house that we're doing now up at Killington in Vermont... We were doing a place up in Mount Snow, and we had a very small window of time we got to go up there. It was like
doing a quarter share, and it was just
like a weekend, so we didn't really only be there from like Friday night through Sunday.
Yeah,
so we didn't have a whole ton of time we could be there. And with our new ski house, there's a lot more flexibility. So we decided last year,
whenever we want to go, just. Whenever.
And last year it was like we had a bunch of extra vacation time left.
And we're doing full share, so that
yeah,
helps
it's a full share. And we're looking at the calendar. We're like, you know, we should go up this weekend and this weekend before Christmas. And then we're kind of like, well, why don't we just go up the whole week? You know, we're already there.
We had a vacation to burn. So I'm like, why not?
Yeah, so, and this all happened in a conversation at a non-E. coli-filled Chipotle over lunch. We just kind of like hashed it out. We made it happen. And last year... We really kind of hit the weather jackpot. I mean, I think when we were up there, the whole mountain was pretty much open. It was beautiful weather.
Yeah.
And we had a dynamite time.
We got so lucky. We tentatively booked it. And then once we saw the weather, we're like, yeah, definitely we're going.
Yeah. It was a perfect storm of everything last year. And unfortunately, that kind of set the bar super high for the kind of experience we were going to have.
It's always set at that level from now on. It
should always be high. But... So this year, if you're not familiar, the Northeast is having kind of a shit start to the ski season. It's been really warm. El Nino has given us this, you know, pocket of warm air. Right now, Killington has about 20 trails out of, what, 140 they have there open. Stowe has like 16 out of 116. I think Stratton and Mount Snow each have like 5 runs open. So it's a little bit dicey right now. but we still have a week.
As long as we go top to bottom, they have demo week, and we have a lot of beer. We're good.
Yes. So we've since we the weather is not looking to be cooperating now, so we were kind of planning for the worst, expecting the best.
Exactly.
So we're going up there, and we have this little kind of itinerary established. So we're going to be going up to Killington. We're starting it on December the 11th, which is a Friday, and we're going all the way through to Sunday, December 20th.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit more than a week. It's about 9 or 10 days.
Yeah, it's flexible. I mean, we might extend it a little. We might shorten it a little. We'll see.
Depends on the weather. We do whatever we want. Exactly. And it's pretty much going to be, if we could turn this podcast or turn our lives into the ideal living, ideal life that we could script the way we want it to be, this is kind of the model for it. You know, the way we can kind of live this particular week.
Just tentative plan. It's good to plan. Like, so I think Brian and I are similar. Like, we like planning shit out. Like, definitely have a plan, reservations. This is what we're going to do. And then we get up there, we're like, nah, I don't feel like doing that. I feel like doing something
else. We call the audible all the time.
So at least we have a plan to fall back on, but like, we just audible all the time. So
that's
how we roll.
And, you know, now that we've got the podcast going, we have you guys listening, we're going to do a lot of social media during this week.
Yeah.
You know, we're probably going to record at least one or two podcasts on the way up while we're there. Maybe do some interviews if we can. We've already reached out to a few people that we know up there. And, you know, it's almost going to be partially working, but again, kind of doing the things we would do if this was our full-time job.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it's almost like a model for how we want our lives to be.
Well, best part is too, because we're going to like a ski area. So we're going to ski towns and we're going to be around ski people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made connections with those people.
Ski people.
So it's kind of cool we made those connections that now when we hang out, like we're going to hang out with a lot of the people that we made those connections with and just kind of build it from there. So like, you know, if any of our listeners want to meet up with us, we're going to be tweeting, putting on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places that we're going to go. And it might be 2 hours before we go. It might be an hour before we go.
It could be 15 minutes before.
Could be 15. Could be while we're there. Just, hey, by the way, we're at this place. So, you know, just take a look. If you guys are up in any of that Vermont area.
Kind of centralish. Yeah, centralish Vermont, I guess you'd say. Central or eastern central.
Well, we give them an itinerary. So our itinerary, we're going to go up to Killington. We'll be there primarily, but out of there from basically Tuesday to Thursday, we're going to do a little road trip.
We'll be at Killington pretty much Friday the 11th through the beginning of Tuesday the 15th.
Right. And then from Tuesday to Thursday, we're going on a little road trip, which we do.
Oh, yes, we are. We did a kind of a ghetto road trip last year.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it a couple times. That was the time.
The Hetty Topper.
We tried to get Hetty Topper.
God
we
damn.
Were 20 minutes late from when it got delivered.
And Hurricane Katrina Hetty Topper
we
incident.
We got no Hetty Topper. We had one can at the bar, but
God
that was
damn
it.
But
but this year, we planned a lot better. So
anyway, so the basic itinerary is we're going to do Killington. They have ski demo day. So if anybody can get up to Killington, you go up there, and it's not sponsored by any ski shop. It's all the vendors sponsored by, Killington brings them in. They have Tuesday and Wednesday, the 15th and 16th, is demo day. You just go and just take skis and demo them. It's great, free demo day. So we're going to do that Tuesday. That's where I bought my skis last year. Brian, I think, is probably going to buy some skis this year.
Oh, I'm getting the Jones.
But
yep.
So that's Tuesday all day. And then at night, we're like, screw it. Let's check out of here. We don't need 2 days of demos. Let's go up to Burlington.
Yeah,
some beer.
Our plan is probably to do demos in the morning.
Yeah.
Like get there as soon as it opens, probably 8 o'clock. Demo for like 4 hours. And then head out. Head on up to Burlington.
As long as they're open. Last year they closed a little early.
I mean, demo day is cool, but part of the thing is they don't want you to take them out too long.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, how much can you really do? And
we'll
how much do you really want to do?
Either way, Burlington's only a few hours away. Just zip up to Burlington and.
Yes. And along the way, we plan on driving through Warren, Vermont, which is the home of both Lawson's Finest Liquids, where we plan on hopefully picking up some Sip of Sunshine, or maybe if we're lucky, some Double Sunshine. And we've also planned our route based on the Hetty Topper deliveries for that Tuesday.
So that's on the way up. Mm-hmm. Then when we get to Burlington, near where we're staying, You have Queen City Brewery. We have Magic Hat.
Yes.
There's a bunch of other stuff around. There's a bunch of brew pubs like right
bunch
around
of
us.
Really cool brew pub by where we are staying.
So even if we don't get some of this stuff on the way, like we'll probably be able to get it in the bars for consumption, which is good.
Yeah.
So, and that's Burlington. So then the next day, Smuggler's Notch. Why not? Let's do Smuggler's Notch.
And guess who's already got lift tickets?
I think we do.
Comp, baby.
Thank you.
They want us there.
Thank you, Chasing Shadows.
Yes.
So at the Chasing Shadows movie premiere, we got, you know, they gave everybody comp tickets, which is great. So we're going to use those then at Smugs. Ski that. And then we're like, hey, let's just drive down to by Stowe. So we're going to stay at Stowe.
Yep.
The night is 16th. That's Wednesday. And then Thursday, we're ski Stowe. I think in the morning before we even ski, we potentially may go out for some more beers.
Probably not. Because you know why? The place we were going to go, the infamous Hunger Mountain Co-op, is about 45 minutes south.
Yeah.
We'd have to go pick it up and drive 45 minutes back to Stowe to go skiing.
Yeah,
go
it's,
past
not gonna,
it.
It's not going
to
happen.
But there are plenty of places near Burlington getting deliveries Tuesday.
Boom.
So I think even if we get a four-pack here, a four-pack there, a four-pack here, a four-pack there, we can put together a couple of cases.
There's going to be an audible somewhere in here, just to let everybody know.
There's
going to
be
it.
A healthy dosage of Heady Topper being bought and consumed that couple days when we're up in Vermont. And the cool thing is, too, I mean, Stowe is one of those places. Now, again, weather-wise, we may be getting another shitty time at Stowe. Both times I've been there, the weather has sucked.
Hey, in my mind, we're going to get 5 feet of snow before we go. Everything's going to be winter wonderland.
I like it. Beautiful.
And if it's not, I'm going to see this fucking guy eat a Vermonster at the...
He's going to force it down my throat.
at the Ben & Jerry's factory.
This is what happens when you book a trip in December.
I'm going to watch him eat a whole goddamn Vermonster. I'm going to video that. It's going to be funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, stuff like that's going to happen. So, we'll see. And then we'll connect with people and, I don't know, we already have beer plans with people from Killington, so it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, and we're looking at a couple of places in the area in Stowe where to stop. And, I mean, I'm trying to find the place I was looking up. It's right by our hotel. And I was looking at their beer menu, and it is off the hook. I mean, they have some Hill Farmstead beers, they have Alchemist beers. You know,
as long as it's within walking distance or Uber distance, we're good.
Dude, you can stumble across the street.
It's what's going to happen.
We can like roll. We can log roll across the street.
And we're
going
to rally, and we're going to go skiing in the morning. That's what's going
to
happen.
That's what we do. It's what has to be done. And we'll get that lovely breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lovely breakfast included.
Might have to stay up all night and just eat the breakfast and then go to sleep.
Who can stop us?
Can't stop us.
So, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff we're doing. But we don't, again, it's not, we have a nice loose guideline. And then as we get up there, as we, you know, the play evolves, we'll have a determined, you know, plan of action. So we're excited. And like I said, if you guys follow us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, website, we will be posting all the time, letting people know what we're doing, kind of showing you guys what we're up to, giving you guys tips. And if you have any tips for us, please hit us up. Let us know. If you know a place where we got to go and eat, a place we got to go and drink, we want to know.
That would be great. Because especially food, like I'm very particular about food. I don't know where to go. So it's going to be usually Yelp or just try to, you know, look at websites to see what's a good place to eat. Ask recommendations. We always do that. So,
yeah. So anything you guys have for us, please let us know. And we'll post, you know, we'll post our kind of our journey on the way up. We're probably going to podcast from the car, you know, kind of on the drive up there. So we got a lot of cool stuff going on. We're excited, and we think you guys are going to like some of the things that we're doing. And so again, we want to meet up with you guys. If you're in the area, if you're at Stowe, Smugs, Burlington, Killington, that's where we're going to be. And hit us up and find us.
I say, come on. Everybody has days they got to use, sick days you got to use. Just blow them off and go on up to Ski Bum Week, because you know what it means
to
me?
How important is your job?
Well, it just means freedom. It's like for that whole week, we're just going to do whatever the hell we want. We feel like going skiing that day. We go skiing every day.
Yeah.
But we feel like going and getting a sip of sunshine. Get a sip of sunshine.
Yeah, if we want to go to Long Trail.
Go Long Trail.
Hit Long Trail. We'll do that. If we want to go to goddamn Outback Pizza and eat three pizzas, we'll do that too.
That's right.
Who could stop us?
Who can stop us?
So, this is about the dream lifestyle. This is what this represents.
Yeah.
You know, this is 1 week out of 52, but we're trying to figure out a way to make it like about 42 out of 52.
Well, you know, it's like people used to just get in the car and drive out west and just say, boom, I'm in the car and I'm free. I'm doing whatever I want. Now everything's so tightly controlled. Like, our lives are pretty tightly constricted with, like, stuff around it. And it's like, it's nice to just let go, man. You know? Just let go and just kind of be. Hang out with people, meet people, and just let everything take you where you go. So I'm looking forward to that. Get some good skiing in. I'm hoping we get some better snow. If not, at least we'll have maybe fake snow. It's good. And then get some good food, meet some good people. It'll be good drinks. Why not, right?
It's going to be awesome, yeah. We're excited. And again, we hope to meet up with you guys, and we're going to post a lot of this stuff on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Going to do a lot of cool stuff, have some cool adventures, have some cool photos, and we'll hopefully have some great stories to tell on the podcast, and hopefully have you guys there to partake in those adventures. So stay tuned. Keep up with us on all of our social media, and you will find out all of our cool antics and actions that we'll be partaking in. All right, for all our information, you can just go to skibumpodcast.com, and there you have all of our links, or you can just go to facebook.com/skibumpodcast, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, or now Instagram, instagram.com/skibumpodcast.
You know what time that is now. Well, time for the round the horn.
It is time for around the horn, where we come up with our favorite stories that we found in non-ski related topics from all over the world wide web.
Yeah, got a lot of good stuff on there today.
Oh yeah, a lot of good stuff. So the first thing we have, canned wine marketed to men who need to shut up and drink.
Drink wine, that is, right?
Drink wine, that is. So wow. This article is about this new brand of wine in a can called Man Can.
Instead of wine in a box, it's gone right to Man Can.
Man Can. So this guy, I guess he talks about how manly he is and how he works construction and how he walks to work with his dog and has bikes and a trike and didn't want to drink out of stemware, so he came up with the Man Can.
Wow. That's a pretty good story. So the dude's like, you know, I feel a little emasculated coming out and breaking out my stemware to have a little drink at, you know, after work, so...
You know, if you want to drink wine, drink wine. Like, I hate that you have to have
you should
a
own it.
Particular kind of glass for a particular kind of drink.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to drink wine out of a coffee cup at work, I say you go for it, you know?
Well, I like the idea of it being in a can because for many years, I've been annoyed. Like, if I want to have a glass of wine, I'm not going to drink a whole bottle necessarily. I'm going to drink just a glass, maybe two glasses. So that's like a half a bottle or something.
That's kind of a good idea, yeah.
Do a can.
Size-wise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do a can. It's you're drinking a half.
It's about the right size then.
Right
for,
size.
For single serve.
Yeah, for after work. You know, because you don't want it to oxidize and get bad and stuff. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, the article talks about all the backlash that it got on social media, you know, about like, oh, you know, for those whose masculinity is too fragile, they have to have... You know, drink out of this can. It's like, just shut up, everybody.
I think it's a good serving.
The serving size, that's the best part of it. Yeah, if you want just one glass of wine with dinner, say you got a couple pieces of pizza, you don't want beer, like, I'm going to have some wine with my pizza.
Yeah.
But you don't want to break out a whole bottle.
Or have wine with dinner. Nice. I don't want to open a whole bottle. I'm not drinking a whole bottle.
Yeah, and that's probably actually the smartest part of it is the portion size.
Well, because you've seen in stores, they sell the half bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And the half bottles are expensive. They're like... They're not the half price of a bottle. They're like three quarters of the price. You might as well just buy the bottle. So it's
plus
like,
two, and if you're, you know, say you're going to like a BYOB place would have it, but say you want to go out on like a picnic or something.
BYOB is perfect.
And, you know, say you don't want to have like a picnic or you want to go out, you don't have like an opener. You know, you have the can.
Yeah.
It's easier to open and it's easier to, you know, to carry and get rid of cans than it is bottles. So there's something to it.
Let's say you go to a BYOB place. You want red wine. Your wife wants white. You can have both.
Can of both.
Boom.
Yeah. There's a lot of pretty cool things about that, this wine in a can.
Plus, the technology's better now.
I think it's less you focus on the Man Can name, which is kind of stupid, and focus more on like the convenience of having a single serving, you know, wine that's easy to carry around.
Right.
And it's a pretty cool product.
Well, we've been stuck in this paradigm of thinking that that's how wine has to be. It doesn't have to be.
Nope.
I mean... The technology, having it in a can is the same as having it in a bottle.
Exactly.
But All right, next up we have, I saw something on online. I fell in love with it. So Uber, as much as I love Uber now, I tell you, I used it to go back and forth to the airport for this big vacation. It was cheaper overall than parking for the 10 days I was gone. But Uber now has a program where they deliver puppies to your door, and it is the cutest thing. So what they do is for about $30, you get 15 minutes of puppy playtime.
Aww.
So hashtag Uber puppies. And what happens is they're working with a local, well, they only have it in certain areas. And then what they do is they work with local shelters, and you can order these puppies to come get delivered, and you get some playtime with them. And it's kind of cool. Like, people are thinking about it, like, at work and stuff like that. But I know from personal experience, like, my dad was in an elderly home before he passed, and you bring a puppy in by elderly people or sick people, and it lightens up their freaking day. So this is like a great idea, like just to have once in a while you bring puppies from the shelter, and I tell you what, they get a little social interaction. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I know that like a lot of hospitals too, they'll have it. You know, when Andrew had surgery, they had a puppy come by and you can kind of pet it. And they give a little card, you know, autographed by, you know, this dog's name was Murray, you know, Murray the golden retriever.
It's awesome.
And it brightens your day. It really does.
Yeah. That'd be cool at work. Have a little puppy playtime. So pretty nice.
Yeah, and it promotes animal adoptions too, which is cool. So say you go there, you want to have your dog for 15 minutes, and you fall in love with it, you can adopt this dog too, which is really cool.
Exactly. You're not going to send him back. You want to keep him. Keep him here. I'm going to take this puppy.
That's a great story.
So it's a cute little idea.
Yeah.
Uber, always pushing the limit, man. I tell you, I always think about, like, what can they do next? They came out with, like, bigger cars, luxury cars, now, like, vans, and now they come out with puppies.
Always disrupting.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
I like it.
Next up, speaking of disrupting,
Bugatti. You love that song, too.
Girl walks up to me. She says, what do you drive? And I said, Bugatti.
And that's the whole song. So
repeated.
We
over and over again.
Brian played that for me before. I'm like, is this all they say? He's like, yep.
What else do you need to say?
That's when you have a Bugatti. You just play that song over and on a
that's
loop.
That's your theme song. It's your ringtone. Your theme song.
Just hanging out. Like, yeah, that's right. The song's about my Bugatti.
Yeah.
And me.
So Bugatti announced this week they are going to debut, I think, in 2016. Yeah, they're debuting it in 2016 at the Geneva Auto Show, the Bugatti Chiron, which is a 1,500 horsepower, $2.5 million successor to the Veyron.
Wow. It looks like the freaking Batmobile, doesn't it?
It actually looks so much cooler than the Veyron.
It looks pretty cool.
I mean, the same general kind of size and shape, but it looks so much slicker, so much more badass. I mean, it's expected to have a top speed of 288 miles an hour. That is batshit fucking crazy.
Wow.
But so awesome.
So you're going to get like a 90-year-old grandmother that just wants to spend their savings on this to drive around?
I would hope so. And I want her to adopt me so when she dies, she can leave the car to me. And the cool thing is, all-wheel drive, throw a ski rack on top of that bad boy.
Oh, they have the suction cup ones. You put the suction cup one on, just drive that bad boy up.
Good to go.
Does it have four-wheel drive or all-wheel?
I think it's all-wheel.
It's all-wheel? You're golden, man.
I think the last one was, too.
Dude, when I was in Italy, I saw a... it wasn't a Lamborghini. I think it was a Ferrari in Italy in Cortina, driving on the streets. And I'm like, what the... And I was like, oh, yeah, it's all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Freaking guys just taking it out. I'm like, has no clearance, just bumping up on shit. But
oh,
I was like,
God.
They're like, I don't have, you know, they got the money for it. It was freaking hilarious.
The crazy thing I've, you know, read in the past too about the Veyron is that, you know, the Veyron was like, I think a little over $1 million or whatever, $1.2 million, $1.4 million, whatever. But the thing was the maintenance of it. I mean,
yeah.
You needed new tires so often.
Every day.
And I think it was like $5,000 a tire.
Oil change every day, every ride. It's like a high performance
car. It's a race car. It's like a race car, yeah.
Race car, you break everything down, rebuild it, change everything, I'm telling you.
But $5,000 a tire. Crazy.
What? $5,000? That's not like an off the shelf Goodyear. Like, what is that?
Doesn't Costco have those?
Who is making that?
Come on, Costco.
I want to know about, like, that's the little shit that fascinates me.
Yeah. This vehicle is so crazy.
That's awesome.
It's really sweet.
So, yeah. Because some of the car companies, they'll do like, the offshoot of this company, and they're building this particular car. So this is just Bugatti.
Just Bugatti.
Bugatti. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, fight to legalize the brilliant pub on a bike. Now,
oh, yes.
Brian shared this with me. I'm like, you know, I was actually looking at taking a tour if I could, like during the summer. So, I was looking at a whole bunch of stuff. So, there's in Holland, it's a Dutch thing. They have a drinking. It's like a. They call it a pub on a bike, but it's actually like a bus with pedal things. Like pedal stations on the sides. So you're sitting up at it like you're at a bar, and it rides around, and you pedal it around, and they take you on this beer, like this pub tour while you're riding in like a mobile pub.
Yeah, it's really weird. You almost have, I think it's this particular one that we're looking at, the picture, there's four people on each side, and you're all facing the center.
And you're pedaling.
And you're pedaling to move this thing.
It's awesome.
It's got a little tiny, like a little overhang on top. And I mean, I've seen them in San Diego before, and they are just so cool.
So I've seen them. So the site that I saw was like the Netherlands, but now they're talking about. So they're talking about passing this. They just passed a law in California.
Yep.
To allow the roving bars. So now they're saying they're going to have them in California. That'd be kind of cool to have like a little tour. It's kind of like the City Bike in New York with alcohol and a bunch of people pedaling. Because they're not technically driving. They're just putting the pedal into, you know, the fuel for it, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then somebody else is driving. So the sober person's driving. You're just drunk and pedaling.
Oh, so there is, like, a sober driver in that whole thing.
Right. So the person on the – there's one person driving, and everybody's just pedaling, which is kind of cool. Or they're just sitting.
Kind of like the coxswain?
Fake one. Yeah. Or if it's a fake one, they're just.
And I guess there's brakes in it. I mean, I don't really understand the engineering behind this thing.
I don't know. It's a whole contraption, so. that's pretty cool.
It's pretty. It's if you've ever been out in California, I know like San Diego, they have a lot of them cruising around the towns there. And the first time you see it, you're like, "What the fuck is that?" It's so weird the first time you ever see it. It's hysterical.
So my buddy Steve, our buddy Steve, we bike with, well, I bike with, he went to a bar in, I think it was Chicago, and it was a bar where you sit at it, and they had the pedal stations like that, so everybody pedals, and the pedaling, I forgot what it did, but it was like, if you don't have enough people pedaling, like, I think that, like, pumped the beer or something like that, so people had to pedal to, like, keep pumping beer.
Oh, really?
Like, it was like doing the pressure on the taps or something like that. It was the weirdest thing. So he said it was pretty cool. He took pictures and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, they had everything there. It's like, no, you don't understand. You had a pedal while you're sitting at the bar or you don't get a beer.
That's a little, you know what? That'll help keep the pounds off. You know, you won't get all that beer weight.
Exactly. Hardcore.
I kind of like that.
That was pretty neat. Next we have.
So this was a cool story. So we talk about Vermont a lot. We talk about Tesla a lot. And now the two of them have come together in a story, which is beautiful. So GMP, which is the Green Mountain Power Corporation in Vermont, is the first in the nation to offer their constituents the Tesla Powerwall home battery system. So they announced a couple days ago that it is the first utility in the country to offer home battery offerings to the customers. So under this innovative filing, Vermonters have the option to purchase the Tesla Powerwall battery outright or to lease with no upfront costs. So what the Tesla Powerwall is, I think we've talked about it on a previous podcast. Elon Musk announced it a few months ago, and it's pretty much a battery pack you install in your garage or shed or wherever. And it takes the energy that is created from your solar panels and stores it. Up to now, if you had solar panels, you would use whatever you could, and the rest would get sent back to the power grid. You know, that's run by the power station or the power company. And now with this Powerwall, you can actually store it, and you would get about, I think, 4 to 6 hours of battery or of energy from your Powerwall. And you can chain them up to 9 together.
That's pretty
cool. So if you have 9, I mean, you could have up to like 50 hours.
It's almost like
of power.
They have systems where it provides power through a battery system then to your – and what that'll do too, a lot of times it'll provide you steady power so you won't get spikes or brownouts. But what this thing does, which is really unique, is if you have a power outage, now you don't have to worry about a generator because you're sucking off the battery then.
Exactly.
which 4 hours, that's usually what people have gasoline for in a generator, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And this too is, it's the first one that's ever done this. You know, I mean, it's only going to get better and more efficient over time. But as for now, it's pretty awesome. Because the thing, they're saying that to buy the Powerwall would be about $6,500. And with this, you can actually, I think they say you're going to, you can lease it for $37.50 a month with no upfront cost.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Which is really cool. Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize, I was talking to somebody when I was in Florida. And you know how, so in New Jersey, in a lot of states now, if you make power, so if you have solar power and you're not using it, you actually it goes back to the grid, and the power company actually pays you the difference. So you actually get a rebate. Florida is one of the states, and I guess it's state by state, they don't pay you for the power. So if you make more power and you put it back to the grid, they don't pay you
for
it.
What's the incentive then to get solar panels?
Exactly. So there's a big fight right now, and they're trying to pass there that the power company has to pay you back. So I just thought, like, I don't know, I just thought it was a given, like, oh, you're producing power, it goes to the grid, why wouldn't they pay you money? Like, so it's this weird thing. So especially for somewhere like, you know, Florida or other places that are more
get
tropical,
tons
and sunny,
of sun every day.
Why wouldn't you want to have that as an incentive? It's crazy.
That's really, really dumb.
So I think that's part of it too. Like, that's an incentive for people where now if you're gonna produce more power, rather than send it back to the grid, I'll store it for myself because I'm not gonna get anything for it, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's really cool.
It'll actually pay for itself then.
Oh, yeah. Over time, definitely. So, and if you have a Tesla or another electric car, it makes even more sense to have something like that because then, I mean, you have no fuel costs then at all for driving. That's pretty sweet.
Well, the magic of it is Tesla is doing the right thing, building everything into an ecosystem to support its cars and everything. Batteries, it's great.
Just like Apple did.
And getting ready to support Mars, M-A-R-S. That's okay.
Ecosystem, yeah.
This so all now, can be ported right over to Mars.
Well, this would also allow us to be able to have a Tesla up in Vermont. Because originally, I was, you know, when I buy lottery tickets, one thing I did a couple weeks ago.
When you bought your last car, you're thinking about a Tesla, but you're like, they don't have the battery up in Vermont. So
that was it. So, you know, I was thinking, you know, I want to get a Tesla, but I'd have to stop in Albany to get a charge before getting up to Killington. Now, if I had this Powerwall at my house in Killington, could drive up there and just plug the car when you get there.
Yeah.
And it'd be fully loaded, ready to go because of the solar panels charging the Powerwall.
Like that.
It's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing. Good idea.
I like it.
Like that. So one of the things, other things we liked, which was very interesting, we had...
this was awesome. So,
while we were doing our prep for the show.
This is a Mario special right here.
Yeah, I saw this and I was like, this is right in my wheelhouse. So the article was, what's the most common sexual fetish in your state? So I freaking love science. They're great. So they put this out and there's a site called PornMD. And what it does is allegedly, you know, I've only heard, like, if you're on, like, Pornhub or one of these other sites, it actually tracks, like, what the most common searches are in your area or whatever. So it's kind of, people ignore it or they look at it, whatever. You know, I don't know what people do. It's, you know, it's all a mystery to me. But this PornMD takes all that information from all the searches of all these, not just Pornhub, but all these other sites and aggregates them together. And you can actually see what the most common search terms for porn are in your state, in different countries. It's freaking amazing. So we were going on, and I don't know, we picked out a few tidbits that were just hilarious. We saw some trends in the U.S., I got to say.
You know what? It's so funny. Like, all the places in, like, the deep south that you think are the most racist, like, the top search terms are ebony, which is hysterical.
And look at those states. They're darker. Because
they're spending more time.
More time. Their average duration on the sites. And that was just from Pornhub. I was like, what the? So
he said Mississippi has the longest national, of all the states, the longest national average of, I guess, per viewing session.
Wow.
At 10 minutes and 51 seconds, while Rhode Island has the shortest of less than a minute.
It's just crazy. And then you could see, like, little parts of the country, so like Maine and up there is compilations. And then they have the Midwest is like, that's cream pie area.
Cream pie central. Well, it's the creamy goodness of the country, right?
It just sounds so dirty saying it.
It's the creamy middle of the country.
Creamy middle of the country. And then you have the ebony section, which is like Alabama, just above Florida, like
Georgia, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi.
And then you have spatterings of like teen and college in there. You have a college like row, like right, was it Michigan all the way down?
Yeah, Michigan or Minnesota. And then Iowa.
And then you have stuff like California is Asian.
Washington is Asian.
The thing that baffles me.
West Coast is very Asian.
You have Nevada. Anita Queen.
Anita Queen.
We had to look up, like, who's Anita Queen? She's some girl from Hostel, right? The movie something like that. I guess she was a porn star that was in that movie. Like, so it's just weird stuff. And then it even gets weirder. So if you click on the link they have on, what is it, the PornMD? The interactive infographic dealing, it details the searches by country. So now you go in there and you pick like Europe. And for the countries that they track, you're able to select them. So like, for example, Sweden, you can select Sweden. And that's very tame, whatever. Madison Ivy is number 8. We had to look Madison Ivy up, too. Finland. Oh, well, Norway. Get all this stuff. Madison Ivy, number 7. Like, what? Like, it makes you wonder, like, what is going on here?
Well, it's great because you can also do, the live searches. And right now I'm looking at the whole world. Orientation, you can choose, straight, gay, or what was the other one? Shemale. And there was, like, right now, like, She-Hulk. Reverse squirting.
What? Oh, most popular, yeah.
There's like weird things with like feet.
Wow, and they actually have like the different sites. They have it broken down. It is crazy the amount of stuff they're aggregating.
There's some pretty rough stuff here. Now it's getting kind of close to midnight too, so I think it's getting worse. The stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, all the stuff.
Black Frenchman.
Global top 10 trendings.
Zoo attack.
Tory Lanez. Thanksgiving. People are looking up Thanksgiving on porn sites right now. I don't know what they're looking for, but Black Friday. I don't know.
Spanish gay anime.
Samantha Nixon. I have no idea who that is. Casting Woodman. I don't even want to like search that. Christmas, people looking up Christmas. Okay, nice to know holiday season.
Yeah.
Luna Love, Brie Olsen Gangbang, of course. And Kylie Sinner. And then something in it's either Chinese or Cantonese. I can't read it. It's like the different characters.
Yeah.
That's number 10. Yeah. So something's going on with a country, I guess an Asian country that it looks like Japan.
Here's one.
I clicked on the link. It's Japan.
Right now? Solo food fetish.
Wow. I just want to see what's going on Thanksgiving. Are they looking for turkeys? Like, what's going on?
Virgin young kitten?
Oh, there's a lot of Thanksgiving porn out there. Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. So, if you want to spend just hours and hours just seeing some of the funniest things ever, like Viagra foot job. That's one that's right now people are searching for.
That's a trend.
Well, no, it's the search. So people are just, searching for whatever they're searching for.
That is.
And that's what they're looking for. Chubby amateur squirt.
Chubby amateur squirt, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Top searches.
So, yeah, check out PornMD. And, just think. And, think about someone you hate. Like, say your boss is an asshole. Think about he or she typing in some of this stuff because he probably is doing that or she is doing that.
It's interesting.
And it'll make you laugh and not take them as seriously.
It's interesting to see the differences in some of the countries. You're like, wow, I guess they like different stuff than we do.
Yeah. There's something for everybody out there.
This is part of China. They're looking up a lot. There's like 3 Japanese titles on there. So China is looking at Japanese like porn. Mm-hmm. Japanese mom.
Solo women pissing.
Hong Kong. Wow. On that note.
Rubbing mature.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow.
I don't even know.
I don't even know.
The best is like, but I think my favorite thing is the typos. Because, you know, you're using one hand, you're like all frothed up, and you're just like, I must type, typing letters.
But that's like the global is like, so this is an aggregate, like this is most popular, like, so everybody's having that problem.
Yeah.
Typing. But like, I can't even type the rest of it. Just, you know.
Puke piss.
Oh. Germany? No, I'm joking.
Possibly. Maybe Denmark. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hog tie.
Damn. That's the South.
100 guys, one girl bukkake. That's very specific.
That is very. You sure you're not looking at just like a live
My
feed
search
of...
results?
Oh.
Hey-o.
You got to clear your cache.
Clear the cache.
Wow.
Women flexing. Yeah, this is great. So go on PornMD, check out different countries, and have a good laugh because there's some interesting stuff. Like diarrhea is a search term people are using. All right, I got to turn it off because I can just read it
it's hours
all
of,
night because...
Hours of fun just looking at what people are searching. So the funniest part of this, like...
Naughty
so now,
bookworms.
So now people come out like, you know, I remember when Ashley Madison breach came out, there's a lot of people saying, oh, wow, they find out what you... If people knew what you searched for when on the internet, that would scare the crap out of people. Because I've said to friends, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Ashley Madison is one thing. I said, but you know they have all your search history for Pornhub. And people, like, turn white. I'm like, ha-ha, I got you.
You would never get a job anywhere ever.
And actually, I've worked with IT and marketing, and there's a lot of stuff people put together. And they pretty much can probably tell what...
Your digital house, footprint?
Yeah, what your household is searching. And if you live alone, they know your household is you, and they know what you spend money on. And people can put stuff together. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit scary.
Yeah. Canada had some sick-ass searches, I just got to say. You were saying that before.
Canada was, yeah, a little rough. I was pretty surprised by them.
I thought you were better than Canada. You're
surprised,
not
surprised, that kind of thing.
Not surprised.
So here's a fun one. So after you're done checking out your Pornhub searches... Bacon scented underwear for your own personal strip show.
Bacon, bacony, bacon, bacon.
So this
are bacon strips.
Yeah, bacon, the good folks at J&D Foods have now come up with a bacon scented underwear, which they announced last week. And I'm guessing, they come in men and women styles. So the thing that I didn't get initially when I first saw this article was that it showed a picture of male underwear. So I don't know what kind of dude is trying to turn on a woman, be like, hey, baby, I've got my bacon-scented underwear on.
I'm thinking it's...
Are you in the mood now?
Extra large or bigger dude. That's what I'm saying.
They would... Or one of those, maybe those one of those women who are like the feeders, you know, like they get off on watching their guy eat.
Could be.
But they do have women's underwear, too. Now, see, that makes more sense.
But it's not edible underwear. It's just scented.
Technically, anything is edible.
I'm just saying. They have the edible one that's like, I guess... Like fruit roll up. I don't know.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Allegedly. Allegedly, from what I've heard.
So it'd be like a bacon roll up?
bacon flavored fruit roll up.
Imagine you like wearing that on like the subway and it's like hot and like the air conditioning isn't working.
Oh my god, my underwear is melting.
Melting fruit roll up all up in your hooch, like,
all like stuck to you.
All over your dick and balls, like just Whoever thought that was a good idea? I was trying to be romantic.
It's like an edible plastic bag on all my parts.
It just was trying to be romantic and do something different.
Oh, that's awesome.
Never again. Yeah.
Wow. Smoky, delicious underwear shouldn't come as too much of a surprise.
Yeah, what about like if like a dog smells you?
Oh, dog will attack
going
you.
After your bacon strip.
They will try to rip those underwear off you.
Yeah.
That's scary.
This definitely should be put in the category of seems like a better idea in theory than in reality.
You do that, and then you go like into a kennel or something like that, you're getting torn apart.
Oh, my God. That seems like a good fear factor kind of
trick. It's a good prank to play in something.
Yeah, just give them bacon underwear.
Yeah, go right in. Hang out. Go feed the tigers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's hysterical. Bacon-flavored underwear. So, yeah, you can go to J&D Foods.
Anybody's bought them, please write me and let us know.
Yeah, if you do have it. This would be a great gift for, you know...
Holidays coming up.
Your creepy uncle or something.
Your 80-year-old uncle. You give him a pair of those, watch him blush.
Get grandma some some bacon, like a bacon underwear thong. You know, she'll love you forever.
She'll be like, I got some of these already. I'll put them with the other ones.
Another pair?
She will freak you out.
Yeah.
Oh, That's
Go
funny.
Grandma. So yeah, jdfoods.net. You can check that out, and you can order some bacon draws.
That's awesome.
You know you want it.
Bacon draws. So, next I found something out, which is pretty cool. I'm looking at...
This is our final story, isn't it?
Yeah, final story. So, I was looking online, and with Star Wars coming up, I was doing a whole bunch of searches, and I actually found out Google actually did something pretty cool. They put out little, what we call Easter eggs, if anybody doesn't know what those are. They're kind of little search things. In a video game, it used to be something you used to have to find, but basically, on Google... If you type in certain search terms, you'll get like cool stuff pop up. And what I mean by that is go into Google and type in a long time ago in a galaxy far away. And what'll happen is
Far, far away.
And what'll happen is Google will pop up a whole little video just because you did that search, which is pretty neat. And there's a bunch of different terms, which I'm not going to...
It's not even a video. It actually is search results. But it's done up to look like the credits or the opening
credits.
Intro in Star Wars.
Yep.
It's so cool.
So that's that one. Other ones do other things. So it's pretty neat. They're all a little bit different. So it actually changes your whole view of the page. And you could actually keep searching in there, and it'll be in that format.
It changes like the perspective. Yeah, it looks just like in Star Wars, the way it's kind of tilted and kind of scrolls up. It's really, really cool. It's worth really checking out. Yeah, I'm playing with it right now.
But that's that one. And then there's other ones in there that like they do all different things. So it's pretty neat. So I thought it was pretty cool. Everybody getting jazzed about Star Wars. I was looking at tickets for Star Wars during Ski Bum Week. Brian's not a fan. I'm a fan. We're gonna see.
I'm a giant Star Wars fan, but
He's not.
You know what, man? It's driving me crazy how every single commercial is something for Star Wars, even though it's nothing related to Star Wars.
I don't watch TV. I haven't seen a damn thing.
Yeah. It's just Stephen Colbert did a whole thing about it a few weeks ago. I mean, I think it was like Revlon has like a Star Wars line of nail polish
getting on it.
Do you want to be dark side or light side? Like everybody is just whoring out Star Wars. And you know what? I feel like part of my youth, my upbringing, everything that I loved as a kid is just being just bastardized. It's like watching your favorite thing. It's like watching Luke Skywalker being raped and killed and murdered and maimed in front of me. Like this over-commercialization and objectification.
They've always done it, though.
But it's so gross now.
I give you one word that tells you it's been like this since the beginning. Ewoks. That's it. The little fucking teddy bears running around.
Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks. Another one.
Well, everybody hated Jar Jar Binks.
Exactly, because it was a whole marketing thing. They wanted to sell Jar Jar Binks little tools and little things.
It's just gone above and beyond now. Why is Revlon selling a Star Wars line of nail polish?
Because women are embracing being nerds, too.
Yeah.
Now that's a big deal.
Yeah. And I'm super psyched for the movie, but I just... I hate this hype train.
I think the problem I have, though, is if we don't see it, we're going to miss out because everybody else is going to see it that doesn't know about Star Wars and be like, oh, yeah, it's great. The whole generation that's going to see it now, like the young generation that's getting ready, the parents are trying to force them to watch all the other episodes because they're not going to have any point of reference of where it's at. You know what I mean? And sure, they'll get it, but they'll get it from a different relation than we got it, like because, you know, from seeing everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm okay with that for now.
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna see it, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to take the time during Ski Bum Week to
we'll see. It's an option. It's an audible
Again,
option.
We're not you know, canceling anything out for sure. We don't know what we're gonna do. We have our guideline, we have our general plan of what we're up to.
So I'm saying,
but things change.
Keep it on the option burner.
Yes, definitely. So that about wraps it up for us this week. Like I said, we're really still kind of prepping, getting things ready, getting things together for Ski Bum Week, which will start next week, probably Thursday or Friday. Again, we don't know exactly. We have our loose guideline, probably the 10th, maybe the 11th, depending on the weather, the snow, the cold, how it is up there in lovely Vermont. But please check us out on our website, skibumpodcast.com. Go there. Go to our iTunes subscription link, subscribe, rate us, let us know what you think. Hit us up on Facebook / Ski Bum Podcast, Twitter, at Ski Bum Podcast, Instagram / Ski Bum Ski Bum Podcast.
Just to let you know, we just joined the dark side.
We did?
Yeah, in some Force Awakens
on purpose?
Site. Why not?
What does that entitle us to doing?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We could change to the light side, but
mm.
I like the dark side.
Dark side works. So yes, your dark side friends, the Ski Bums, signing off.
Use your dark side.
Another podcast, and we will check you guys out, and hopefully we'll see you guys around during Ski Bum Week.
Next week.
Next week.
Week after next week.
Yes.
Yes.
Week after we're next starting week. Next week.
We're going to podcast next week, yep. Talk about it, and then we're in the crucible of Ski Bum Week.
That is right. It's happening. It's real.
Yeah.
It's go time. So we'll check you guys out next week.
Stay high, stay polluting.
Thanks for listening. See you.